Chapter 16. I immediately shifted my lover off my lap so I could focus without wanting to fuck her, and I furrowed my brow as I considered the eager gleam in her pink eyes. "Have we seen this witch before?"
"No."
Ash shook her head lightly.
"In all honesty, I wasn't exactly sure what I was doing when I first arrived."
"So what happened?" I pressed. I couldn't bear another break in the tale, not when so much was finally being revealed, but I tried to appear patient while Ash just smirked. Then she took a moment to toy with me by brushing her silver-blue hair over her shoulder, and she let out a careless sigh before continuing.
"Well, for a while, I was hiding in the back alleys waiting on something to go down. I was there for a long time, focusing on the smells and sounds around me, but even then, with everyone who walked past the alley, I still had no idea why I was there. I only had the little information that Madame Neera gave us. Then I noticed the Red Witch as she traveled from house to house. She played out the same routine at every house she stopped at, and that was when I decided to start following her. She smelled so fucking delicious that I honestly couldn't resist, and I was annoyed with hiding in the alley."
"What did the witch look like?" Ash scratched the back of her head as she thought back to the lady's appearance.
"She had golden skin, amber eyes, and long, dark hair that looked purple under the light. She was quite petite, too, but she had an hourglass shape to her."
I laughed quietly at Ash's comment. I thought about all of the people I had met during my time in Rangfree, but none of them matched the description Ash had given me. "And how did you know she was collecting payments for the priest?"
"This is the fun part." "So, every house she stopped at, no matter where it was or who owned it, the lady would knock on the door, receive a little satchel of pieces, and then walk away to the next one. Sometimes she would use some strange enchantments on the ones who weren't so willing to hand over the money, but she ended up with it all in the end."
"So, she's using her powers to her advantage out there." I nodded and narrowed my eyes in thought. "And this continued all down Pixie Lane?"
"Yeah, well, it started there."
Ash shrugged.
"I must have been following her for almost an hour, and it felt like she had gone all over that area of the Shadow Quarters in that time. Then, when she was done, she jumped into a carriage with all of her money in hand."
"Carriages can say a lot about a person in this city. What did her carriage look like?"
"Oh, it definitely wasn't something you'd like to see roaming the Shadow Quarters. It was just like the ones the King's Guards travel in. It had gold trim around the edges, the wheels were two different sizes, and a velvet drape covered the windows, so I couldn't be sure if she had anyone with her at the time."
"Hmm," I muttered, and I offered my lover a scheming grin. "Please tell me you followed the carriage."
"Of course I followed it. I wasn't going to let someone so interesting leave that easily, and I knew you would want me to be thorough in my work."
"Always," I murmured and stole a biting kiss. "And what did you find out?"
"I trailed the carriage up until it arrived at an incredibly lavish estate in a quarter I've gathered is called Ravenshade. It's in the western quarters of Rangfree and looks to be a very rich area. It's full of tall, dark, and gloomy buildings that must have been built over a century ago, and it generally reeks of entitled evil. They also seem to have an issue with ravens there, because those birds were flying right over my head all throughout the evening."
Ash had a dreamy, faraway look in her bright eyes as she said this, and I imagined she was fond of the gloomy and lavish area where the black birds flocked non-stop. "Go on."
The estate itself is surrounded by large iron fencing, and two guards were at the main entrance gate. I managed to hide in a small tree off to the side of the estate, so I got a good look at what went on." The woman left the carriage and freely walked into the main house with a larger satchel that looked very weighted down.
That's probably where she condensed all the payments she received, I decided, and Ash nodded in agreement.
Then the doors closed behind her.
Is it the priest who owns the house? I asked. I was pretty certain of it, but I wanted Ash to clarify the assumption.
Indeed it is,
she grinned.
At first I wasn't sure, but then I caught on to his scent. It was so clear, and it felt like it almost suffocated the estate. That man is an evil piece of shit, and his secret missions testify to that.
The story made me think back to what we had seen at the tavern on the northwest street. The priest had been the one who collected the money that morning, but now it was clear he had others to collect payments from other beings within the Shadow Quarters themselves. I wasn't sure why he didn't send the witch to get that money as well, but there had to have been a reason behind it. This man was as sketchy as sin, and it seemed as though he had a reason for everything he did.
Did you see her leave his home? Or is she, I don't know, a concubine of his?
I doubt it. She didn't look particularly pleased to be there, and she left the main house a few minutes later. But she was empty-handed by then. More interesting than this, though, is the fact that this witch lives within the bounds of the estate.
Where exactly?
In a hovel that reminded me a bit of the troll's shack. This hovel is actually surrounded by yet another set of gates, too. And once the witch was deposited there, her carriage driver actually locked the gate. It was as if she was allowed out for one purpose, and that purpose was to collect all the payments for the priest. Then she was shut up inside her hovel again.
I wasn't sure how powerful this witch was, but surely a set of gates wasn't going to stop her from leaving if she really wanted to. Unless they were magic in their own way. Then again, maybe she had been brainwashed by this priest and was trained to leave only when he needed her to. What bothered me, though, was that Ash had said this witch used an enchantment to subdue the villagers who needed to pay, so I wondered why she couldn't simply enchant the priest as well. It didn't seem like she had the best life in the world, given she stayed locked away in a hovel, but she had to have been getting something out of the arrangement. So, Madame Neera certainly delivered, I mused as I laid back on a pile of pillows. But if the priest has some hold on the Shadow Quarters through this witch, this could present a problem for us.
I thought the same thing, but consider the Dark Elves' setup.
Ash adjusted the way she was sitting and laid herself out for my viewing pleasure.
If they aren't visited by the witch and are allowed to make their payments of their own accord through the human, then they must be in a very good position, one that doesn't require the power of a witch to keep things in check. One that would allow us to conduct our business without anyone being the wiser.
She made a good point, and it all seemed much less concerning when she put it that way. The elves clearly had everything sorted for themselves, and therefore for us as well. My eyes drifted to the deep red dress that barely covered her thighs, and then they trailed down her incredible legs, swathed in the fishnet stockings. I was hungry for a taste of her yet again, but the view brought me back to the reason behind Ash's adventure. I haven't dealt with a red witch before, I admitted.
I have,
Ash smiled.
I've murdered a few red witches for the hellscape over the years.
Excellent, I murmured with a grin. Tell me everything.
Well, I don't know everything. But I know enough to keep us at an advantage. I know their powers can come in different forms, and they often use their eyes, hands, and a staff to help cast their spells. Luckily for us, the enchantments of surface-world witches don't work too well on demons.
Is that true of all witches, even the white witches we've seen?
Yes.
I definitely liked that idea. If this witch did end up trying to cause any problems for us, then we would probably have a means of defeating her swiftly, especially after securing access to the magical orbs at the elves' manor.
I don't think we should kill this witch, though. I have a feeling she could be of use to us. She could serve a better purpose than just the priest's slave.
At the very least, this gives us the upper hand you wanted over the priest. It's insurance.
It is.
I smirked. Are you pleased enough to continue with our plan?
Are you pleased enough? That is what matters most. My purpose is yours.
I thought about this for a moment. Everything appeared to have been answered, and the loose ends we had struggled with for the past few days were now tied up as neatly as we could have hoped. Thanks to the fairy twins, we not only knew who the human middleman was, but where he could be found for the next few days. He'd proven useful in answering the most immediate questions I had about the Dark Elves, and I had no longer needed to wonder when or where our attack could take place. I knew exactly where to find all 9 of the elven bastards, and lucky for us, their human servant was desperate to escape the tight ropes they kept him in. I had no doubt he'd prefer to stay in my good graces than suffer the slow and painful death a pair of demons could afford him. Perhaps better than all of this, though, was that we had information on the double-dealing priest. We knew when and where we could easily locate the Red Witch he used to conduct his business here, and one order from me would send Ash hunting her down and dragging her in to me if I wanted. Everything appeared to be in our hands, and as long as we could complete the final mission we had set before us, we would be as secure in the port of Rangfree as we could manage. For now, at least. I couldn't wait to slaughter the elven assholes and gain their riches for my own, but it wasn't just the thrill of the kill that made me so eager to begin. For once, my work was going to be for my own gain and no one else's. Ash and I weren't working for our Lord Captains anymore, and we didn't have the pressure of the Dark King's agenda looming over us. The massacre of the Dark Elves and the conquering of their organization was for us and us alone. Yes, I finally murmured to the sultry demon beside me. I'm rather pleased with our plan.
Then it pleases me.
Excitement shivered through my spine, but it increased dramatically when Ash crawled toward the edge of the bed to get up. Her satin dress had stuck to her ass cheeks, and before she could adjust her clothing, I was able to get the perfect glance at her naked pink pussy. It was clear from the sight of it that she was just as excited as I was. I had my hands around her hips before she could get up, and I pulled her back down with me onto the bed. Then I devoured her lips with a forceful kiss, and she let her arms slide above her head as a sign of her need for dominance. I'm very glad you wore such a bloody red this evening. You should wear this color more often.
Yes, Atticus.
The satin sheathed her delicious body like a glove, and it really was sinful for someone as seductive as her to wear something so enticing. The scant design left nothing to the imagination, and as I ran my hands up her tiny waist to her ample breasts, Ash moaned impatiently. Then she grabbed at my shirt to try and wrench it off, but I swiftly caught her wrists. I don't think so. You know I'm in charge.
Yes, master.
Ash purred, and the word on her smoky tongue sent fire surging through my veins. In a matter of seconds, my hands had torn her little dress open down the front, and one more firm tug ripped it clean off her. That damn dress had been causing me problems all evening, and finally, I had the chance to enjoy what laid underneath. I kept Ash's boots and stockings on for now, while I let the tattered satin fall to the floor, and then I pushed her further up the bed so she was draped across the pillows for me. I brought myself above her with a devilish smile plastered across my face, and Ash fluttered her silver eyelashes at me. Still, she knew not to make a move until I gave her permission. She laid perfectly still and waiting, and I kept my eyes roving over her naked body as I slowly unbuttoned my shirt.
I could see that my delay was getting to Ash, but I continued at the same slow pace until both my shirt and pants joined the wreckage of her dress on the floor. Had she been able to have her own way, I was sure Ash would have battled me onto my back by now, but she was clearly determined to behave. The little fiend kept her hands by her sides where I'd placed them, and the sense of my utter control over her sent a wave of pleasurable heat through my chest. I never dreamed a demon woman like her would obey me so obediently, and I couldn't wait another moment to toy with her as much as I wanted. I started with her chest, and I blazed a fiery trail of kisses across her cleavage and down toward her slender stomach as my fingers skimmed over her silky hips. Ash arched her back in response, and as much as she whimpered for more, she allowed me to keep working my way down her body until I got to where I wanted to be.
"Please?"
she begged breathlessly.
"Yes?" I asked with a grin.
"I can't handle the torment. Not tonight. I need you to—"
"Just a minute longer," I teased before I returned to the job at hand. My dick grew painfully hard as I pulled the leather boots from her delicate feet, and one by one I let them drop to the floor. Then I slowly rolled down the fishnet stockings clinging to her legs, and I took in the sight of her for a second. She was completely bare and splayed-legged on the bed, and a look of pure devotion and need burned in her eyes. Her glistening pussy added truth to this, and I stooped to kiss along the inside of her silver thighs. Then I began to kiss up her hips and stomach again, but I put my fingers to work to keep her satisfied for the time being.
"There's still some of your sperm inside of me from earlier."
"I can tell." I could feel her growing arousal dripping down my fingers as I pumped them in and out of her tight entrance. And once my fingers were coated, I pulled them out of her pussy and brought it up to her lips. Ash purred as she eagerly licked and sucked my fingers clean.
"Oh, you like that?"
I whispered as I pulled my fingers back out of her mouth and then pushed them back into her soaking tunnel.
"Oh, yes. It tastes so good mixed together. Put more of your hot seed into me, Atticus."
"That sounded like an order. I'm the one in charge. Maybe you should be punished."
"No! Oh, it's begging. Please, Master. I need your cock deep inside of me again."
I knew I couldn't draw out the torture any longer. The way she quivered in response to my fingers was almost enough to make me combust right there and then.
"Then you will have it."
With both hands, I parted Ash's legs even further, and I placed my cock right at the precipice of her sloppy, wet entrance. But I caught her eyes with my own before I made another move. Ash bit down hard on her plump lower lip, and her eyes closed gently as I continued to play with the heat of her pussy.
"Look at me," I ordered.
The demon woman's pink eyes casted up toward me again, and they silently pleaded with me in the most desperate way. The tip of her tongue ran across the little divots in her lip where her teeth had been, and that simple gesture spurred me on even further. I gripped onto her hips as I forced my entire girth inside her tight pussy, and I stayed buried deep in her trembling tunnel for a short...
Yes.
Her legs shook as she cried out and hooked her ankles around me, and I almost wished I'd kept her boots on. The leather scraping across my back while Ash took a pounding from me would have turned me on even more. But it was too late for that, and I could feel Ash's desire for me to give her what she needed so badly.
"Atticus,"
she moaned softly, and she sent me a painfully innocent pout. I couldn't resist any longer, and I lifted her hips off the bed in order to allow her the chance to meet my every movement. Then I pounded into her repeatedly, until she screamed with every thrust, and I attempted to keep as much control as possible. But with her heated pussy sheathing my cock, holding back was out of the question. The shriek of the bed frame mixed with the slapping of our skin, and Ash's constant whimpers and moans only added to the already heated atmosphere. The bed started striking the wall with enough force to leave a dent in the wood, but I still didn't ease up on the little fiend. The breaking of the furniture only urged me onward, and Ash didn't complain once as she took every inch of my dick deep into her fiery pussy. My nails dug into her silver thighs while I plunged my cock in and out of her slippery tunnel, and Ash clutched at her shaking breasts with both hands. They barely fit in the palm of her hands, and she rolled her nipples between the tips of two fingers to form two perfect peaks.
"Harder," I growled.
Then an enticing moan tore from her throat, and she did my bidding as she pinched firmly at the glittering buds until she was shaking from more than just the force of my thrusts.
"Fuck, yes."
"Is this what you've been needing?" I tormented her slightly.
"Yes. Oh, come inside of me, master. I need your sinful seed. I need every drop of it. Pour it into me."
"Not yet," I growled, and a wicked smile curled on her lips at my commanding tone. Even though it was agony not allowing my own body to release, the sense of how much power I had over Ash, and knowing I was completely in charge, turned me on almost as much as Ash's writhing body did. My little huntress wanted this. She wanted to be ordered around, and she'd happily agree to my every word. And more than ever, I felt that I was made for this. I was forged from the storms and unrelenting chaos of the hellscape, and I was meant to be the master. Only I would be in control from now on. My vision went red with power, and I tore my cock from Ash and then forced her over onto her knees. The little fiend curled her fingers around the cracking headboard, and I held onto her tiny waist as my dick found her soaking wet pussy once more. My demon lover shrieked as I started fucking her once again, and I let go of her waist with one hand and moved it to the soft curve of her taut ass cheek. I smoothed my palm over the supple swell of her flesh for a moment before I smacked it hard, and the sound ricocheted throughout the room. This and the trembling moans that left Ash's mouth only made me spank her again and again. A red imprint from my hand began to coat her silvery skin, and I growled with pleasure at the sight, while Ash's pussy began to convulse around my shaft. Her perfect ass bore my handprint like a clear mark that she was mine, and when she begged me to spank her again, I knew I couldn't last another moment. I pounded into her a few more times, and then I held her hips tight against mine as my fiery seed exploded from my cock. Ash climaxed the moment I did, and her pussy clamped fiercely around my throbbing dick so she could milk even more from me. We stayed locked together like this for several minutes while I pumped her full of my sperm, and the whole time I kept her bright red ass in my grip. Droplets of sweat trickled down her back while she fought to control her moaning, and they rippled every time her spine arched and lowered in the effort. Finally, the burning desire in my loins started to ebb, and Ash trembled as I slid my cock from her dripping, wet, and blistering pink pussy.
"If that's what the black fairy dresses do to you, I'll have to wear them more often."
"Yes, you will."
"Or was it having those sexy little fairies over before I returned?"
she asked as she grinned over her shoulder at me.
"We could invite them to join us next time, you know."
"No, I need you all to myself for now," I growled and shoved her down into the pillows. Ash gasped as I locked her under me, and she shook and wriggled with delight as I bit at every inch of her. I didn't stop until she had my teeth marks embedded around her nipples and in the slope of her neck, and when I collapsed onto the bed at last, Ash let out a soft moan and curled up against me. Then she combed my choppy hair back with her fingers, and I stared at the ceiling as the little fiend left tender kisses all over my cheek, neck, and shoulders.
Every now and then, she'd pout and lick at my lips, and if I obliged her with a kiss, she'd whimper in a way that sent a shiver down my spine. The bliss of the moment consumed me, and I could almost forget about what the next day would bring. But only almost. The excitement of the fight to come whispered constantly from the back of my mind, and I had to force myself to focus on the supple body at my side for now. Soon, blood and victory would be mine, and my fiendish lover would be the queen of our own underground organization. It didn't take long for sleep to overtake me, but it also didn't feel like long before I woke up again. The day was already light, but there was a darkened tone to the world outside the window. A deluge of rain splattered off the glass panes, and I couldn't help but smile at the sight. It had been a few days since I last felt the icy rain on my skin, and sometimes the cold baths we took just didn't do the job well enough. Today, the sound of the rain hammered on the streets as much as the window panes, and I hoped this would help cover our tracks as we snuck up to the dark elves' base. Because today was finally the day we stole those bastards' business right out from under them. Ash yawned beside me as she slowly came to. Her right hand became lost in her silver-blue hair, and then she moved it from her head to my arm. I would have quite happily stayed in bed all day, perhaps repeating the events from last night. It had to be mid-morning by now, judging by the sound of carts rattling down the stormy lanes. I could already taste our bloody victory on my tongue, too. But until we had the elves' business under our control, and a pile of their dead bodies under our boots, that taste was nothing but an idea.
"Are you ready for a day of conquering?" I asked the sleepy demon in my arms.
"It seems like I've been waiting all my life for this day,"
Ash replied with a dreamy sigh. I sat up in the bed and instantly noticed the mess we'd made the night before. Her red dress, as expected, laid in a scrappy pile on the floor, and I knew it would take nothing short of magic to bring it back to life again. There was a definite crack in not one, but two of the bedposts this time, and the dent in the wall where the bed smacked against it over and over again looked like the start of a cave formation. A smug smirk came to my face as I took in the evidence of our tryst, and it stayed there while I pulled on my pants and shirt, which had thankfully survived the evening. Ash slipped on her blue dress and then tied her hair back away from her face. She attached the holster of throwing knives around her waist, and then she slipped the yellow sapphire sword into her belt. She covered both of her weapons with her cape, and she admired her flawless reflection in the mirror with a pleased smile.
"I'll need to get a new dress for such a special occasion,"
she said as she collected the flowing skirts in her hands.
"Something a bit shorter and easier to fight in."
"I'll never complain about you getting a shorter dress," I smirked. "Especially if you continue to go without undergarments."
Ash spun around to face me and then sauntered over to where I was standing.
"I'll never wear undergarments. It's far too restrictive."
I slipped my hands around her thighs and grabbed a handful of her dress in my hands. I wanted to pull it straight from her body and devour the huntress until I'd had my fix. It would have been so easy with fabric as fine as this. The soft blue dress would never stand the strength of my hands, but as much as I wanted to have my way with the beautiful demon once more, I knew we had more important things to do first. We had to take down these dark elves while we had the chance, but Ash didn't make it any easier to cope with my arousal. She slowly ran her hands down my stomach and then stopped them just above the buckle of my pants, like she was toying with the idea of ripping me from my clothing as well.
"We'll never get to the manor if you keep this up," I reminded her, even though it pained me to be the voice of reason.
"You're far too irresistible, though. Perhaps we have time for just one..."
"I'll be around later," I winked. "Come on, let's slaughter some rich elves and take their wares for our own."
As eager as Ash was to have my dick inside her once again, the idea of killing the elves seemed to excite her just as much. Her pink eyes grew wide, and a smile curved over her luscious, full lips. I chuckled as I released my hold on the beautiful demon, and then I finished getting ready to leave. I secured the magic sickle in my belt, but I also included the glaive in a strap on my back. Even though I knew the glaive wasn't going to be as effective against these elves, it would still cause some damage, and I didn't want to leave myself with only one weapon at hand. Then I slipped more pieces into my pocket to buy us some food, and Ash a new dress. I knew from experience now that our demon fury only ripened whenever we hadn't eaten, and even though it didn't really matter if we were angry or not today, we still needed the energy to fuel our bodies. The human middleman had warned us about the dark elves' speed and strength, and I intended to make sure we could keep up with them. Even though I doubted they could keep up with us demons. Together, we stepped out into the rain and walked down the stairs that led to the flat. The clouds had formed a dense gray blanket over the gnarled treetops of the Shadow Quarters, and it added a pleasurable sense of impending doom to our surroundings. The stormy weather matched my mood perfectly, and I could tell from the look on Ash's flawless face that she felt the same way I did. We stopped at a cellar and bought 2 legs of meat and a full loaf of bread. It came up to 10 pieces exactly, and like we always did, we snuck the food into an alleyway to devour it in peace.
"Imagine," I said with a mouthful of food. "Once we've defeated these elves, we could dine in their ancient manor. Can have even better food."
"Their surface world food that tastes better than this?"
Ash asked with her eyes wide.
"I didn't think that was possible."
"Oh, believe me, it's possible," I smirked. "And we could even pay someone to bring it to us."
Really?
She gasped, and she slowly licked her juicy lips.
"For you? Absolutely. I'm sure I could think of a few beings who'd be happy to do the work for a coin or two."
"Those black fairies seem like they would do anything to be in our presence, especially if money is involved. We could tease them into doing whatever we wanted, whether those acts were innocent or not."
I grinned through another bite of meat.
"You're sinful when you're coming into power, did you know that?"
"Oh, tell me you don't want to tease those fairies as badly as I do,"
the little fiend tossed back.
"Tell me you don't want me to spread each of them open while you slide inside and then claim their wombs with your demon seed."
I shrugged as casually as possible, but Ash clearly saw right through me, and my lover let out a long purr. I knew those sexy twins would be some of the first guests we invited over to our new abode in the Grimway, but it really was shocking how many pleasures the surface world had to offer. I couldn't wait to explore every last one of them. I tore off a ravenous mouthful of the meat and quickly followed it up with a bite of moist, warm bread. The two mixed together perfectly in my mouth, and the flavor seemed even better with the cold rain pelting down around me. Ash stood at the entrance of the alley and lifted her cupped hands into the air, and then she gathered a small amount of rainwater and poured it skillfully into her mouth. She gasped before she repeated the movement.
"This is so refreshing. Even the rain here is delicious, Atticus."
I copied Ash's approach and soon found that the chilled rainwater drenching the back of my smoky throat was one of the smoothest things I'd ever tasted.
"Oh, fuck, it's good up here."
"Aren't you glad you removed your shackle?"
Ash chuckled before she opened her mouth wide to catch a few drops straight from the sky. I grinned and admired her soft pink tongue, and I briefly considered what I'd like to have her do with that tongue this evening.
"More than glad," I assured her.
Once we finished our savory meal and the bones were picked clean and thrown to the ground, we left the shadows of the alley and began the journey to the Grimway. The rain pounded against my head and jacket the whole way, but it felt incredible and cleansed my mind of any lingering arousal I was warring with. I'd never had a demon woman wholly at my disposal before, but Ash's insatiable appetite didn't make it any easier to be a level-headed master. I also had eons of restraint to make up for, but the idea of gaining riches and a solid standing for myself on the surface world was just as appealing as Ash's body. Without a shackle keeping me in place, I could take anything this world had to offer, and today was the beginning of a new life for us. We reached the fire beacons that marked the entrance of the Grimway and headed straight in the direction of the main marketplace. It had been a couple days since we were last in the Grimway, and I had almost forgotten how different it felt here. In the outer shadow quarters, with the rest of Rangfree so close to the lanes, I always felt on edge and like we had to hide. Even if there were plenty of beings who didn't know what our eyes said about us, I never had the same sense of freedom out there. Here in the Grimway, it was almost like an entirely different world. Ash and I could stand in the center of the marketplace without anyone really paying us any attention, and the sights were amusing in most directions I looked. The magical lights lined every lane we walked through, and three banshees were dancing around a burning fire and chanting a song I'd never heard before. The wagons and homes we passed all had some cheery, wavering music coming from inside, and every being I passed didn't seem to mind the rain in the slightest. They tipped their worn-out top hats over to pour the water off the brims, and then they kept strolling along while they puffed on pipes that gave off any color of smoke. A few black fairies I passed trailed their fingers all over their drenched bare arms and shoulders, and they behaved like the rain was a sexy veil they were trying out that day. Then I passed a group of half-elves sitting straight in the mud beside a shop, and they laughed heartily and passed a steaming tankard around while water trickled down their multicolored hair and faces. The residents of the Grimway were freer than any I'd come across in the port of Rangfree. They were free to be who they were without the constant scrutiny of others, and I reveled in the notion that this bizarre little village would be our home soon enough.
"I'll try in there,"
Ash suddenly spoke and tore me from my thoughts and observations. She pointed toward a small shop made entirely from black wood, but with green moss and colorful flowers that snaked from the ground up to the roof. The two glass windows had small candles in the center, but when I looked past the candles and further into the shop, I noticed some clothes were hung up on iron nails. "Lead the way," I smiled as I opened the main door for Ash to enter. A powerful smell hit me as soon as I entered. It was harsh, yet floral at the same time, almost like someone had mixed spices and flowers together. The undertones of the smell were calming after I got over the initial shock, but I wondered if I'd become nauseous spending too much time in here. A female elf came into the main room from behind a curtain at the back of her shop. Her hair was long and a light orange in color, and she had it curled neatly behind her pointed ears. She wore a dress that stopped at her ankles, and the top of the dress was plain white. From her waist down, the skirt was an array of bright colors and tiny flowers, and I realized they were as real as the flowers that covered the front of the shop.
"Good morning,"
she greeted us kindly, although her eyes couldn't meet ours.
"Can I assist you with anything?" "I need a dress. Something shorter than I have on now, perhaps with a corset." "I have a few that you can look at,"
the elf replied as she made her way over to a selection of clothing. I took a step back as the two women looked through all the different dresses available. They all looked the same to me, apart from the many colors they came in, and I eyed one that was dark green, one that was a hazy light blue, and one that was as violet as my eyes. Ash pulled the green one from the rack and held it up against her body. The dress stopped a few inches above her knees, the corset was a darker shade, almost black, and the dress had two cupped sleeves, which I imagined would only just cover her shoulders.
"What do you think?"
Ash asked me.
"Do you approve?"
She had a playful look in her eyes, and I immediately pictured her incredible cleavage pillowing from the top of the dress. This one wouldn't live to see the next morning. "I think you know perfectly well how I feel about that dress," I winked. Ash smirked and then turned to face the elf.
I'll take it.
Then my demon lover reached deep into my pocket to find herself some pieces, and she paid for the dress. As soon as we left the shop, we slipped down the closest alleyway so she could change into it, and within a flash, her old dress pooled to the ground, so she was completely naked in front of me. Once again. I fought the urge to slam her up against the stone wall and fuck her right there in the rain, but I kept my hands to myself and let my arousal fuel my determination to succeed in my next mission. Ash tightened the corset at the back until her waist was even tinier, and her cleavage caught every raindrop falling from the sky, and then she smoothed out the green dress that made her icy skin almost glow in this stormy light. Once she was dressed, and her old dress had been disposed of, we began the walk toward the Dark Elves' manor, and we meandered through the winding lanes of the Grimway. We passed the wagons, shacks, and buildings that had been set up on every street, and eventually, the less occupied Oaken Grove appeared in front of us. For several minutes, we traveled deep into the maze of gnarled trees until we came across the large, ancient wall that traveled 10 meters into the sky. We followed the wall even deeper into the forest, but we mostly relied on our noses to take us to the right spot. Then the old, abandoned Maroon Manor house finally appeared ahead of us, with the stone wall that encompassed the property. I knew from the faint scent lingering in the air that we were the only ones here, but it wouldn't be long before the building was alive again. Only a few short hours remained before the sun would set in Rangfree, and when it did, we'd already be in position.
If we continue to the right of the house, we should locate the mining operation.
Do we have time to check it out?
Yes. I want to know what we'll have at our disposal once this is all finished. I replied, and I gestured for her to lead the way. We gave the manor house a wide berth as we headed into the trees, and not far beyond it, a carriage sat behind the short brick wall. It was laden with empty wooden crates, and I looked over the area briefly to see what else was around. As I peered through the gnarled trees, I noticed a wooden crate hidden by the underbrush that matched the ones in the carriage.
"Look at this," I whispered to Ash.
She looked through the trees to where I was pointing, and then she shot me a frown.
"What do you think that's used for?"
"I don't know," I shrugged. "Shall we keep walking and see if we can find out?"
"Yeah, let's do that."
I noticed more empty crates strewn around the further we walked, but then something else caught my eye. There was another wooden shack a stone's throw from where we were, and most of the crates closest to it were covered and locked up with thick steel bolts. Two of them were left open for us to peer inside.
"Oh, shit," I whispered as I stared down at the wares.
"I think we found it."
The two crates were full to the brim with small, rock-like orbs of various colors. There was a mixture of blue, red, yellow, and green gems, all small and circular, but with a tiny indentation in the center of each. I wasn't sure what the dent was used for, but I had a feeling it had something to do with the magic they held. The gems appeared perfectly smooth aside from this, and they gave off a beautiful shine that glistened when the beams of sun hit them. They were slightly larger than the pieces in my pocket, and from the size of them, I could tell they'd fit neatly in the palm of my hand. I figured the other crates must contain more of the same gems, and I would have torn off the bolts if there wasn't the risk of them making too much noise. We were trying to sneak around, and I didn't want to do something that could potentially reveal our presence too soon. Not to mention, I knew nothing of how to use the magical orbs yet. For now, they would probably be safest left right where they were.
"Atticus, there's more than just orbs,"
Ash announced suddenly.
"Look through here."
Ash had her hands cupped around her eyes as she peered through a small slit in the walls of the wooden shack. She moved to one side when I came over, but before I had even looked inside, a distinct scent of utter misery wafted through the woodwork. Locked inside the shack, in iron cages like the hellhounds in the hellscape, was a horde of tiny blue imps. There looked to have been at least 12 cages, and most of them had one imp inside. But some of them had as many as 3 crammed into the tiny space. The imps were all slumped on the floors of the cages, with their tails lying beside them. Then one of them looked up at my glowing eyes through the slat, but they dropped their gaze and closed their eyes, almost like they no longer had the energy to keep them open.
"Fucking hell," I breathed.
I'd known the Dark Elves enslaved imps to mine the orbs for them, and I'd guessed the slaves weren't going to live a life of luxury for the job, but I hadn't thought they'd be kept in such awful living conditions as this. If they were used to being barred in cages in a tiny shack, then I wondered if they felt the same as the human middleman. Maybe these imps were also waiting for the day that the Dark Elf Uppin decided to kill them off. I glanced back at the open crates, and I guessed they'd recently completed mining the orbs I saw there. If they were retrieving as many as this in one go, then I was definitely going to keep them on while we took over the business. But I wouldn't be a boss like the Dark King or the elves. My subordinates would be allowed to live decent lives, and there would be no fucking cages. I stepped away from the shack and motioned for Ash to head back in the direction of the manor house. As we got closer, I couldn't sense any elves nearby just yet, and I decided near the short wall of their grounds would be the perfect position to hole up before our prey arrived. "If we hide up there," I said as I pointed to a tree above us, "we could get a good view of what goes on behind that wall, but we could also keep an ear on the mining shack in case they go to retrieve those orbs first."
"Good idea. Let's not waste any time."
I let her go first and watched in awe as she skillfully climbed the first branch and then continued to travel higher. I didn't begin to climb until she had gone out of sight, just so I could judge if we were high enough. But once I was sure we could stay concealed, I headed up too. Ash balanced on a thick branch above, with her legs straddling each side. She shuffled forward to make room for me under the canopy of leaves, and we were at the perfect height to see clear over the stone wall surrounding the main headquarters. I could even see through the windows that overlooked the closed-off grounds, and I saw a table, some chairs, and some food left on top. But that was it. I didn't see anyone inside, and I couldn't smell anyone either. We had arrived with plenty of time to avoid being spotted, and as soon as the elves joined us, we'd be ready.